If you've ever had a performance review at work and thought, these are stupid, well, there's an academic scholar who has your back. This week on Techonomics, host Jason Middleton looks at why good people can and do become bad managers in the workplace. Why corporations are not built for individual success. Starts now.
Hello and welcome back, and thanks for listening. Of course, if you've been in the workforce for even just a minute, you've likely had to suffer through a performance review. The supervisor sets out their take on your performance, meeting goals, team player, all those HR buzzwords. The thing is, those things suck. They're terrible to give and they're terrible to receive, especially when you think about the research that proves one manager may give you a bad review and the same performance will get a good rating from a different manager. So, why are managers forced into this no-win situation? For our next guest, the answer is that today's managers work in a success and self-preservation mindset, which does not always translate to a productive and mission-oriented environment. It's just not a great place from which to lead a team forward towards a common goal. The author of Good People, Bad Managers starts now.
Samuel Culbert, professor at the Anderson School at UCLA.
Can we just start at the beginning? Like, what prevents good management?
It's managers giving the system what they think the system requires and unnerving themselves and everybody else around them in the process. It's their socialization. It's the way we train people to be managers. And the good behavior they think is expected, and it's impossible for them to give it.
It seems like the inherent problem is that managers have their own goals that may not be the goals of their team. Is there a disconnect there that is persistent?
Well, that's one of the disconnects. There are many disconnects. But managers are under pressure to move up or move on. And in the process, there's massive pretending that has to take place for them to project themselves as achievers. But that's not their job. The job of management is helping other people to accomplish, work independently, and get credit for their own accomplishments. But the system requires managers to take that credit.
Yes, it does. I have managed several teams in several different companies, and I liked leading teams. I hated scheduling. I will admit I didn't like the administrative part of things. But I kind of always went against the grade because I was always giving credit to my team and individuals whenever I could, especially at stand-ups, meetings, and things like that. Other managers really kind of got on me for doing that, frankly, because they felt like they wanted to take their credit, not necessarily for a selfish reason. It's just that they didn't want to spread it around. It seems like if the economy is based on incentives, there is no incentive for a manager to lead a positive team positively.
Managers don't have the time, for one thing. If you're out there projecting your own image, how do you get other directed? How do you get develop the sensitivity and the trust with employees? It takes an enormous amount of time, takes a lot of other directedness, and in the process, most managers would make them, especially in large companies, would make themselves too vulnerable. It's time, it's focus, and you don't get credit. People who help other people give the credit, rightly give the credit to the other individual, because we're all out there trying to give people feedback and for positive reasons, and they don't take it. And when they take it, you're in the past. You were number 14 that helped them, and they don't catch on till number 26.
Why is nothing seeming to be getting done? I mean, here in Silicon Valley, some cultures start a certain way. Salesforce, Mark Benioff, seems to be leading from the top down when it comes to being equitable and giving other directed goals. Why are these changes not being implemented?
Because the culture is fighting you. The culture is fighting the managers being their authentic, other-directed selves. Managers have to pretend that they're putting the company first, even though they took the job for their own self-interested reasons. They have to pretend to be objective, to get involved in activities like the dumb performance reviews that nobody wants to give, nobody wants to receive, and pretend that they're being objective in their assessments when they're merely talking to employees about what they wish the employee would do better. But we're living in human nature only has imperfect people. We're all screwing up, and what we do that is really our people's creative best is that we work around what we can't do. But the system says, here are the metrics. Everybody's supposed to be able to improve to match any metric that a manager puts out for an employee. They're talking about human beings that are different than they're talking about avatars who can do things. People are imperfect. People are creative in how they operate. And what they want most from a manager is an honest representation of what's going on and an appreciation for what they are able to contribute. And when they can't do something, the boss's job isn't to give an evaluation. The boss's job is to help and to know enough to be able to fill in for what the employee is at this point of his or her life struggling, not quite able to do.
Right.
I mean, managers pick the employee. So if you pick them, then your job is help that person to accomplish, not for you, but for the company. That's what you're getting paid for. But the system doesn't pay off for that. So managers develop other kinds of skills, and they're real good skills. They acquire skills for passing the buck, for pretending to get along with people they don't like, for ducking criticism, for spinning,
deflecting
spinning stories to make themselves seem invulnerable and to be consummate team players. They're in situations where they can't really be team players, and they're not able to talk about it and improve it.
I've worked with some that I swear were sociopathic. We're speaking with Dr. Samuel Colbert. He's an award-winning author, researcher, and professor at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. His most recent book is called Good People, Bad Managers. In your last answer, Dr. Colbert, something stood out. I know you're not a fan of these things. I was not a fan of doing these things. I'm not a fan of getting these things, and those are performance reviews. Those seem to be pretty persistent, too. Why are those so persistent, and why are they so inaccurate and maybe inefficient?
Before this, I published a book, Get Rid of the Performance Reviews, and because everything about performance is fraudulent. I mean, the reviews is fraudulent. What they do is they allow bad managers to get away with being bad because they're intimidating, and they pretend as if there's a pretense that what the manager is telling the employee is objective. It is just one imperfect person's idea of another imperfect person's imperfections. And we know that the same employee getting a bad review from one manager is probably going to get a good review from another manager. You tell me what you think is good about performance reviews. I'll dig down just a little bit below the surface, and I'll tell you what's wrong with that whole idea.
Okay. I have on my team somebody who is not performing, and it's a cultural thing. I have to use my performance reviews to increase their performance, a performance improvement plan. That gives me a quantitative way to justify jettisoning that person off of my team. There's a reason I would use a performance review.
So the whole idea of the performance review is to get rid of the employee without being sued.
We always called it managing out, but yes, that's the gist of it, yes.
All right. That's how some of them are done. Others use force rankings so that people who are doing a good job but are just good enough and have no aspirations of moving ahead, they get evaluated as bad performers. Well, what do you want? And you want people working in the same unit to be cooperative. Well, how do you cooperate with somebody who's getting a 5 and you're getting a 3 and you think that you're better than that individual? They're divisive.
All right. Well, you effectively pushed back on my one example that I had. This can't bubble up from the grassroots, can it? It has to come from the corner office.
Well, that's the problem. That's a real big problem. It's changing the culture, improving the manager mentality so the managers are other-directed, not forced to be so self-directed. It does have to come from the top, and it takes an awful lot of time for the leaders to get involved in changing the management mentality. and there's no incentive even for the leaders. The leaders are paying attention to the bottom line, and in today's economy, companies are doing so well that there's no incentive for helping to change the internal thinking of the managers in your company.
Dr. Colbert, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you very much.
That was Dr. Samuel Colbert. He's a professor of management and organization at UCLA's Anderson School of Management. His book is called Good People, Bad Managers. His PhD, by the way, is in clinical psychology. For a link to his book, you can copy-paste it to your boss. It's at KGORadio.com. Just look for the story that goes with this week's show. Coming up after the break, the addictive nature of social media and other platforms and its effect on our kids.
The people that are working behind the screen, the engineers and the product development people, are creating products that are meant to be addictive.
Keeping kids digitally healthy is next. I'm Jason Middleton, and this is Techonomics. Please stick around.